Mr. Dan. Okay,
we ready? Good, good, good. Thanks, guys. Okay, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4. I know that feels like a joke by now. But let's see what happens. And I'm hoping that I have the time. Man, I hope I can do this. I don't know how to judge time, but I think if I take about a half hour, if we do have to 12:30 without it tax anybody, are we all be okay? That'd be good? Okay. So I want to try to get this thing in where, you know, I talked a little about the salvation of the soul yesterday. I want to lead these two together if God would permit. You know, it's important, too, to just get your heart filled with God's Word. Like, you know, we're teaching these schools in 3 hours. It's funny, I get invited to places. Sometimes I get invited to conferences. I say no anymore, but I feel like I'm going to go to churches. And there's a reason. It's just I have a faith for it. I have a pastor's heart, and I like the whole family being there. I just like impacting the whole house. And but you realize that Kingdom Living School, who's aware of that Kingdom Living School 2011? Like, you know, they'll say, do you have enough material or information to cover 4 1-hour sessions or something? And I'm like, I think we'll be all right. Because I don't have material. You become the Word. You live with a message. You're in relationship. That Kingdom Living School, I have a couple of friends that talk to me about it. It freaks them out. They travel all the time and preach. That I did that whole school without any notes or any thought of what was going on each session. I just showed up like you did every day, or like the students did, and just carried my Bible in there with the Holy Ghost, and we had a blast for 13 weeks. Felt like we were never going to get done, like we weren't going to cover it all. Like for a while, I felt like, oh wow, we got 8 weeks left, we're good. Because I would go 5 minutes over, 10 minutes over, and I'm thinking, wait, we got 13 weeks, I don't got to stretch them 5 minutes over every time. So I started ending right on time, thinking we got plenty of time, and by the time I was down to like 3 weeks, I'm thinking, we're not going to get the gospel done, you know, because it was just so much that we were covering, and it's neat because you can fill your heart with Him in the Word. Do you see what I mean? Well, you're never trying to preach a sermon. You've become a life changed, so you can give life change. You know Him so you can speak out of knowing Him, not because you read your Bible. See, the Lord actually commissioned me a long time ago. He said, Dan, I'm going to give you revelations of my love and righteousness, and you're going to speak to many of my people. He told me that 3 days after being saved, in clear English at work, I was overwhelmed. Because I was like, what? And He said, however, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. He said, only ever read your Bible to know Me, and only ever speak out of who I am in your life. Why? Because then it's going to carry the weight to transform and reproduce after its own kind. And revelation will produce revelation. You see what I mean? Eat seed after its own. So if I read my Bible and get my knowledge stirred up, I can stir your knowledge. And the anointing's still there, the Word's still anointed. But if I speak out of knowing Him, out of the revelation of who He is in my life, it has the power to reproduce itself after each heart it touches, after its own kind. That's why people say, oh my gosh, that's what happened to you. The lights just came on. Why? Because you heard somebody talk out of the revelation of who they've become. What they've tasted and seen it was good, they put it on the plate. And you become the same thing. Isn't that sweet? So we're not just growing to know about the Lord. We're growing to know Him. Okay? And you're going to see that right here. Ephesians 4. We're going to read it. Okay. Where do we start? Let's just read. Oh. Yeah, that's what I just... Yeah. I just saw... Oh, no. Okay. That's all right. Let me just do this in two... Well, I can do this in a minute. We're not going to read Ephesians 3, but Ephesians 3, Paul talks about the intent of the gospel. The reason the intent of the gospel came is to make God's manifold wisdom known to the powers and principalities through His people. God's brought the gospel to take what looks like it was in bondage, set it free, and absolutely turn and crush the thing that was crushing it. He flipped the tables. The first sign of believers cast out devils. It's amazing. Why? Because the totem pole shifted. The authority changed. We're back in. We're grafted back in. We're sons. We're daughters again. What was crushing us crushes us no more when we understand. The manifold wisdom of God. The gospel came through the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known by the church to the powers and principalities according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ the Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. So this thing's already settled, we're positioned, and we believe it, and we approach Him through that truth. It's right there in Ephesians 3. And then he says, for this reason. You know how we get sentimental with the scriptures and we like, oh, that's a refrigerator scripture or that's a wall hanger. It's more than you just going, whoa, that sounds so poetic or that's so sweet. Or no, no. Look, that one about knowing His love and the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of His love, etc. These things we learn to quote, they almost become popular sections of quoted scripture or something. Man, the power of what he's saying, guys, is amazing. Look, he says in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason. What reason? The reason the gospel came, that through us he makes his manifold wisdom known to the powers that be. For this reason I bow my knees and I have not stopped to pray that you be formed in love and understand God's love for you. It passes all knowledge. It makes you complete. He goes into this prayer that love become the dominating revelation of your life so that you fulfill the intent of the gospel. What he's saying is you're not going to fulfill the intent of the gospel without the love of God. Isn't that what he's saying? For this reason I bow my knees and don't stop to pray for you that you get a revelation of His love. Why? So that you're empowered to become that very thing, because that's going to be the wisdom that He reveals to the powers that be. That what was so self-centered and so bound in itself is now selfless and consumed with love and following Christ. Steal, kill, destroy. When you steal, kill, destroy, you think you win. When the devil kills, he kills, he kills, he thinks he wins. When he kills Jesus, he really loses. And all of a sudden he kills Jesus and a whole bunch of people come alive in the same thing that he tried to kill. So you kill the one and now you give birth to the many. This was never about blessings and going to heaven. It was about becoming like Him. Each seed after his own kind, predestined to be conformed to his image, firstborn among many brethren. Come on! So, in his aggression, steal, kill, destroy, kill, I gotta kill him, I gotta kill him, I gotta kill him. He says, do what you came for. It's the hour of darkness, do what you must. What's Jesus saying? God just pulled back. He allowed darkness to have free reign to do what darkness does. Steals, kills, and destroys. So God just pulls back and lets darkness play right into His wisdom and kill the Son of God. Because in every time before, if he kills, he wins. But now when he kills us, he kills, he loses big. And God just backs up and lets him play right into his hand. He says, just do what you must. It's the hour of darkness. Just do what you came for. And without a word, he went like a lamb to the slaughter, slain before the foundation of the world. Because he knows who we are. And now through this truth, what he accomplished, he can release his manifold wisdom to the powers that be and show lives transformed that were self-driven and they've become selfless and full of love. It's the whole goal of the gospel, that you become love. The goal of the gospel is not your name's written in a book called life. The goal of the gospel is that you become love, because if you become love, of course your name's in the book. That's what I wasn't taught growing up. I was not taught that the whole reason Jesus died was to restore my nature back to His. I was actually taught that was Jesus, this is us, and it was blasphemous to even compare the two. But yet the Bible says Christ is in me and He's the hope of glory. And then He called me to come up higher and sit with Him in heavenly places. And that the things He did I can do if I believe. Yeah. So he goes on about this love thing. He's like, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, faith, rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the depth, the height, the length, the width, the depth, the height. To know. That's an intimate word. That's just not gnosis. That's an intimate word. That's, I didn't look that one up right now. I don't know. But I don't know if that's gnosis, epinosis. It's not gnosis. It's either epinosis or it's the other one. Do you know? Okay. That's more than gnosis. That's an intimate, that's an experiential understanding. That's a knowing. It's like a heart knowing, like epinosis is an experiential understanding. You follow what I'm saying? So it's not just 2 plus 2 is 4. It's not just knowledge. It's to know. Do you get that? You guys get that, right? Okay. Yeah. To know the love of Christ. Now look what it passes. See, here's how you know it's a different word than gnosis. To know the love of Christ which passes knowing. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's one thing for me to say, Chuck, man, God loves you. I'm always right. I'm always scripturally correct. It's another thing for Chuck to be loved by God. Did you get it? It's one thing to be wrong, hey, God loves me. It's another thing for you to walk in His love, to know His love, to receive His love, to commune with His love. It's not enough for you to just say, God loves me. It's enough for you to believe God loves you, to know that He loves you, because knowing He loves you changes your whole life, because you can't love Him first, you love Him because He first loved you. And the amazing love of God triggers your heart in a response to love so that you become the very thing that saved you. Do you think He showed us this ridiculous... Am I down here? Do you think He showed us... Sorry, I just feel close to you guys. I was talking about love. I got so close. Did you see that? I couldn't stay so far away. I just felt it. Look, do you think God loved us in such an amazing way just so that we're loved? Or so that we see what it is so we become what we were created for? Look, if God made us in His image, then God's image is love. God is love. He made man to love like Him. To be like Him. And when man ate the tree, he became the total opposite of love and became self-centered and self-serving. That's why it was all about you from the time you can remember. That's what, gimme, no, little, tiny, little, precious little babies, they're precious. No, mine. Yeah. You didn't teach them that. You must be born again. Do you get it? That hurt me. You make me feel bad. You shouldn't have said that. What would it hit you if you didn't hit me? Well, you started it. Come on, we all grew up with that. It's the way that seems right to a man. He said, she said, tit for tat. This is perversion. You're created for love. You're created for His image. So Jesus comes and shows us what that looks like. He models it, lays down His life, and says, follow me. He doesn't say, pray to me and sing to me. He said, follow me. He didn't say, pray to me and sing to me. We spend all our time praying and singing to Him. Now keep praying and keep singing. But He said, follow me. Don't have an all-night worship service. That's okay if you do, but man, what makes an all-night worship service powerful is when you follow Him. Because if you don't follow Him and have all-night worship service, you're letting that try to replace following Him. Yeah. And all of a sudden, that qualifies you, and now you just worship the Lord for 24 hours. Okay. You'd be amazed how we draw stars from some of this stuff. Dude, we're going to do all-night worship. And all the worship people are loving it because they can manifest. I'm serious. I love you worship folks, but you better be careful that thing doesn't become who you are. You were a son way before you play a guitar or play a piano, and I love worship. You have no idea how I respect worship. But worship folks better be careful that their gift doesn't become their identity, and now they can't function together, and if they can't play enough, they ain't staying at the church, and if they can't sing enough songs, they can't... Stop that! Yeah, but I'm being bottled up. I have a greater destiny. Yeah, your destiny is love. Work on it. It's not animosity and me, 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 and I need my time and space to function and manifest. And we can't get along now because we have different flavors of grace. What? You might be amazed if you start taking a little bit of a back seat. How God can give you a front seat. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, how He can lift you up in due time. If you have no need for it. Ta-da! Bow, bow. serious. Maybe you're struggling so much because God's like making sure you really don't get in trouble. Because if you ever got your platform, it might be your demise. Come on. Even that parking thing, it's just right, man. When I go to churches, I park as far away as I can. I think at some places you go, it doesn't happen long because I preach about it probably. Like they'll have those things reserved for Dan Moeller. I will not park there. It doesn't mean I'm proud. I do not need the best front row parking, man. I jog 5 miles a day. I can walk from another town to your church. That's not honor to me. I'd rather let somebody park there that could be blessed by that close space. And I always have fun. I wonder if for one day God has a parking lot in heaven just for kicks. And because you had your good things on the earth, you're in the back on that day. Do you know Christians pray for good parking all the time? It's a thing in the church. I got blessed, man. I got front row, man. I've been driving around the parking lot praying in tongues for 5 minutes and God opened up a space. Yeah, if you drive around long enough, it's going to open. And then you're like, Shabba, woo, favor, baby. Come on. You're not even thinking that somebody has to walk. You're just making it all about you parking in the front space and calling that faith. Come on, that's ridiculous. Why don't you go in the mall and see somebody healed and blessed and encouraged and strengthened? Why don't you park in the back and let somebody else park there? That might be more God. I'm just telling you, if there's a parking lot for one day, some of you will be so far back, you won't even see the glory on the throne. You will walk for millenniums and wonder where you are. And God will say, the first shall be last. And the last shall be... Guess where I'm going to park? Right beside the foot of the throne. I'm just going to jump out on his lap. And when you finally get there, I'll be there. And I'll let you jump on. You know, and push you off. I'm just having fun with you. But it is true. We think of ourselves so much. And sometimes we use our faith for what we call outward blessings. And we call all that favor and stuff. Your faith is for more than wishing for green lights and not red lights. Let I command you to stay green in the name of Jesus. Shabba-da-da-da. Yes, Father, that was extra long. Yeah. I mean, man, take a kiss on the cheek now and then. But please, use your faith to know who you are and watch lives transform. Okay? Come on, man. There's something wrong if you can't handle the red light anyway. Because if the red light gets to you, somebody's gonna. If traffic's got you licked, your job's going to catch up. If you don't ever have a good parking spot and that bothers you, something else is going to too. I'm just being real. I'm not against you getting little kisses on the cheek. But man, don't use your faith for things it's not really for. I mean, God will bless you and do little cool things. There's times you might be just tired and don't feel like walking, and all of a sudden that thing's just right there. And you go, wow, you know it's God. You just pull in and thank Him. I'm not being weird. I'm saying there's time. But don't make it your agenda. I've just been around for a while. I'm just sorry. I know what we do. Okay. Enough. To know the love of Christ. To know. Look what the love of Christ does. It passes knowledge. That passes you saying, oh, God loves me. No, I know God loves me. You know, some people say, I know God loves me, but... To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may... Here's why it's important for you to know the love of Christ. That you may be filled... Whew, what a dividend. That you may be filled with some of the fullness of God. All of the fullness of God. You look up the word fullness, you know what it means? It means a house with no empty rooms. It means a town with no empty houses. It means a ship completely full of cargo with no other space to occupy. It means that you have a no vacancy sign flashing over you. Not for sale. Complete. paid in full, fulfilled, lacking no good thing.
All of a sudden, I don't need you to say a nice thing about me so I feel good about me. Why? Because I'm fulfilled in His love. All of a sudden, I don't need you to encourage me so that I remain encouraged. I'm so encouraged, it's ridiculous.
You don't have to say one good thing about me. I'm not preaching to you so you say, good sermon, brother.
I actually know in my heart what I'm saying is true and right. If you walk out, it's just because you have to leave, not because I'm not preaching good. I'm preaching amazing.
Amen.
Just having fun.
If you need another person to affirm you, you are set up to be disappointed and failed. And it is tragic, it's idolatry, and it's the wisdom of the world, and it's not the gospel. You be encouraging, you be thoughtful, you be sensitive, you give flowers to so-and-so, you cheer somebody up when God says, write a note. Do it. There's places for all that. But you as an individual take responsibility in your identity to where you don't need anybody to ever say thank you to you, because what you did isn't for a thank you, it's because of love, and no one owes you nothing. Come on, there's people that serve in churches for affirmation, and when it doesn't come like they think they deserve, they get hurt and leave the church. That's tragic. Get born again. You're not serving in a church for affirmation and accolade and going. There's people that lay down their life and look like the servant deluxe, and behind the scenes, the reason they're doing it is so you acknowledge their extreme surrender. Because they feed off of it as an identity, and they're known as the servant of the church, and they'd wear the star if you'd make it. That's not healthy. When you pastor, you have to discern that stuff. You have to make sure you're not feeding a sickness. Stuff we don't talk about a lot, but I'm telling you, it happens a lot. Or there wouldn't be so much hurt and tragic stories within us. And it all points to one thing, Pastor. We really don't know who we are. We're trying to find ourselves along the way through stuff instead of through Him. You guys good? Come on, how can you feel hurt serving in a ministry when you're blessed to lay down your life for people? And people don't have to acknowledge you. Where is the catch that they have to acknowledge your service? The blessing is in loving. The blessing's in giving, laying down your life. And even if people don't think like or seem like they appreciate it, the joy is knowing you're setting a precedent and you're doing it sincerely and God's speaking through your life. Praise the Lord. Look, I just flew on a flight a while back, and a lady couldn't get on the plane because it was oversale. And I was in the oversale, and I was next to get a seat, and they got me a seat. They gave me a seat, and she couldn't get on the plane. And there was an emergency with wind and stuff. They had to bring two more people off, so they had five people that couldn't get on the plane. I'm getting on the plane. I got a seat. This lady's falling apart because she can't get on the plane. People really get upset at airports when they can't get on their flight. They're like, seriously, it's like they really take it hard, like their life is over. Like, oh my God, I got to stay here for 3 more hours. You know, and it's like the most tragic. And they're on the phone crying to their friends. And it's crazy. I've been in airports and people fall apart, man, if their flight gets delayed. Now, maybe she had an emergency. Maybe she wanted to get home. It just seemed like she wanted to get home and she was a little afraid just hanging out there. I mean, there was a lot going on in her as a woman. She wasn't a young lady. She was middle-aged probably. Well, she was, I don't know what she was. I lose track anymore. She wasn't like a 20-year-old. She was probably 40. And I saw how hurting she was. And I snuck up to the counter and I said, hey. I said, man, she's really taking this hard. I don't know what's going on over there, but she seems like she really needs to get home. Now, I'm not sure she's going to be even okay the way she's shaking. And on that phone, it's bothering me. I said, just give her my seat. Don't tell her. She said, what? She said, watch it. Nobody gives their seat on a plane. In fact, they walk over each other trying to get on the plane. Yeah. I'm just being real. Yeah. And a lot of them go to church. Yeah. But that's their seat. Yeah. You're in my seat. It's like, man, nobody wants to sit in the middle. Aisle or window. Aisle preferable. Come on. Who cares where you sit? Why do we make so much of nothing? Now you got all these rights. But you go to church, holy. And then you get to that airport, holy or nothing, that's my seat. Seriously, I said, look, don't make a scene. Don't even tell her I did this. Just get her on the plane, and it's okay. I'll just get on the next flight I can get. Sir, are you sure you're giving? People don't give. I said, I understand. It's probably not normal, but it's right, and it'll help her. It'll get her home. She goes up. She says, ma'am, come here. This lady wants on this plane so bad. She comes up, and I heard the lady. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, she's just going to tell her, wow, we got you a seat. That's all she had to say. We got you a seat. She didn't have to explain. Just give her a boarding pass. The lady's happy. She gets on. She says, ma'am, it's really amazing. What's that man over there? Just gave his seat to you because he saw how much you want to get home. So he gave you. She said, well, good, because I need to get on this plane. And she printed it, and she snatched it and just took off. Handed the lady and went right through. Never even looked back at me. Now watch. I didn't give her my seat, so she acknowledged me. I gave her my seat because she wasn't handling it well, and I was just hoping it would help her get through. Was I enabling her? I don't think so. I just gave her my seat to get her home. It's where she's at. I'm not this hardcore guy. Well, she's going to have to grow up and learn. Maybe God's got her off that plane to teach her a lesson. Well, stop. People think like that. This lady ain't thinking Jesus. She's thinking, I need to get home. She might have kids at home. She might be lonely, missing home. She might have been a first time away. You don't know the details. But she's not handling it well. That's evident. Just give her my seat. Boom. She just bolts through the airplane, and it just fascinated me. I realized, I thought, wow, people are so driven by their need that she didn't even take the time to hear. She so wants to get on that plane. But here's what I do know. That in time, she could sit in that plane and realize, I'm in this seat. Wow, I'm heading home. And it just hit her when it's quiet. That man gave me a seat. Something could speak there. That's not even why I did it. I just did it to help her. And you don't let your left hand even know what your right hand's telling. That's when it's love. So watch this. I can't fly out for 2.5 hours. Not a big, super big deal. It's just 2.5 hours. Do I want to get home? Of course. I travel every weekend. I could be in her position and say, well, I need to get home. I'm away every weekend. I travel all the time. Look, you take one trip every 6 months and you can't get on the plane and you're crying. I'm out of town every week. I'm ready to go home and see my family. You could be in that fight all day. Nobody wins. That's silly. It's just he said, she said. She said, here, sir, I need you to read this and sign this. And I'm reading it and I don't even know what I'm reading. And I'm like, what are you talking about this money? So I signed the thing and I said, what? I'm signing this. You're talking about giving me money. She said, well, yes. She said, that's the law. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, well, we did an oversell. You got caught in an oversell, and it's the risk the airline takes. And the federal law is that if you can't get on a plane and you're inconvenienced over 2 hours, you get 200% of your ticket value in cash form. I said, what? I said, does everybody know this? She said, not really. I said, if they knew this, they wouldn't be so freaked out about oversell. My airline ticket was $430, so they gave me $860 check and put me on a plane 2.5 hours later with $860 in my bank account for giving the lady my seat as a good gesture. This young kid standing beside me, he couldn't fly out till the morning, so they gave him like the maximum was $1,060. He got a check for he's like a 20-year-old. Thousands to him, man. That's like, that's lottery stuff, man. He's got $1,060 in his hand for being oversold, flying out in the morning. He has a hotel voucher and a meal voucher. And he said, he looked at me and he said, is this mine? I said, yeah, I didn't know what was going on either, man, but it's a law. When they oversell, they take a risk, and if they inconvenience the passenger, it's the risk they take in trying to get more money for their seats. Because, see, if somebody comes in late and doesn't make the flight, they have the seat sold to somebody else. They're playing the percentages. They have it all on computer. So they oversell a certain amount, believing there'll be that many seats available. But if it doesn't work, they have to pay. So they paid a guy $400, me $860, and him $1060. So they didn't make out well on that gamble. They really didn't. But he goes, he got it, man. He's 20, and he goes, I'm guessing. He wasn't more than that. He says, so this is just mine. I said, yeah, it's they oversold and they're responsible, so they paid you this percent. See this where we're signing? This is your check. It's like a paycheck. It's like cash in the bank. Dude, that's incredible. Man, I hope they oversell me all the time. He was like, I wish there was a way to just be oversold. He'd just make a living flying every week getting oversold. Just earning, what do you do for a living? Oversold. I'm oversold. What? Yeah, I just fly and get oversold. I've never worked a day in my life. I just get oversold. Man, I make like $800 a week. What? Yeah, oversold. Man, if there was a way to work that out, it would be worth it. So this kid's like losing nothing, man. He's like, man, I'm going to go chill in the hotel, use my little meal voucher. I'm going to take $1060 on, man. I'm like, yay. But it was amazing. I didn't know that was coming. It would have made it different if I knew that law. I'm like, man, she's so worked up. She doesn't even know she's getting reimbursed 200% of her ticket value. Hey, when's my next flight? 2.5. I'm going to qualify. Give her my seat, man. I'll take the $160. That wouldn't have been. I just thought I was taking the hit and putting myself in her shoes. Does that sound familiar? I was going to become what she was so she could become what I was. With no expectation. Does that sound familiar to anyone in this room? Does that sound like the gospel? That sure beats every man for himself. I promise you, if you only think for yourself, you will never know what freedom is. Ever. If you only think for yourself and live for yourself, you will never know what freedom is. You can sing about it all you want. You can proclaim it all you want. Being free from yourself is what freedom is. Love is freedom. It takes no account of a suffered wrong because it doesn't seek its own. Of course it's freedom. All it cares about is others because in love it's fulfilled. To know the love of Christ is fullness. Oh, and somehow we thought it was blessings. It's becoming love. Somehow we thought it was provision and full vats and barns and breakthrough and prosperity. It's becoming love. Because when you become love, fullness, a house with no empty rooms. So he says, now to him who's able to do it. Oh my goodness. Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think or imagine according to the power that works in us. To all generations forever and ever. I just looked at the clock, guys. I am freaked out. No, I got to worry about it. I never read Ephesians 4. I never talked about the salvation of the soul. You so wanted me to. There is time. No, because everyone's scarred now. No one believes we'll ever talk about it. No one believes we'll ever get to the promised land. At least we're not wandering in the wilderness. We've been somewhere. We've eaten some manna. We've struck a few rocks and water came out. There's cloud by day and fire by night. God. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. I'm going to stop. I will. I'll stop. I just will. Now, don't whimper. You sound like Sophie. What happens when Sophie whimpers? I pick her up and cuddle her. So don't whimper. I'll enable you. Sophie's their little poodle puppy. It looks so cute. She's so little, you have to love her. She's just cute. She's little, thick little paws. She jumped on the bed last night. She walked over and walked around in a circle. When she came over to my hand, it was so funny. It's dark in the room, and I opened my eyes, and I could feel her walking on the bed, and I looked, and she's tiny, and she's standing there. She goes over to my hand, and she takes her paw and goes, Why isn't your hand moving? My head's here. Like my belly's right over your hand. Why is your hand laying still? Literally, she was on it, man. It was like she was going to take off skin if I'd have just sat there. She was over and over. And I laughed. It was like one something in the morning, probably one in the morning. And I just reached up and I started tickling her belly and she, boom. Like, so funny. You can read Ephesians 4 when you get a chance. Okay? And it's really good. Like, it's really good. Okay? So, like, check it out. And really, it's good. And you want to read. Oh, my goodness, Lord, help me. Seriously. Stop. You're not helping me. You want to definitely read the chapter. Okay? I was going to tell you to make sure you read the verse 23, but it's still good after that. And honestly, like, this is the end of the chapter, but we made chapters, you know, it's one big letter. So we've really done not a cool thing with all these chapters. Because, do you see this green? My Bible, I color-coded this. I didn't buy it this way. I did this. It's like really cool. I have this own color code that I have that it's really fun when I read my Bible. Me and Holy Spirit have a color code. And like, he shows me things and then I have these colored pencils. And when I do this, I color them all up and I get them all pretty like this. And then God tells me to give them to somebody, usually a new believer. And then I get a new one and start all over again. I gave one to a 9-year-old girl who for 3 months ran in from school, grabbed the Bible, curled up in the recliner, and read for 2 to 3 hours, screened all my notes, color-coded, checked. And Mom met me and just cried and said, for 3 months, my little girl's been curled up with that Bible, checking it out, highlight, reading, filling her heart with the Word at age 9. Come on. She put little stickies on the front. Pastor Dan's Bible to me. Moms are so amazing. That night, I prayed for her. She asked for baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for her. She's sitting there so sweet. She's just praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. She's so precious. And then the Lord said, give her that Bible that you have. And I said, honey, I have a gift for you. The Lord wants me to do this, and I'm honored to do this. I want to give you this Bible. I've been studying it. It has all my notes, and I explained the color code and had it written in the front what all the colors mean. And I said, here, it's yours. And her mother. I think her mom cried for a day because I gave the Bible to her daughter. It was so fun to watch. But for 3 months, he just... But now I closed mine. But did you see the green? Oh, you guys are hilarious. Thank you. You see how this is so powerful. So it's because when this turns into green, everything that's green in my Bible represents love, the love of God. So look how this is green, and look what's the next verse in the next chapter. Do you see this? It's all what? Green. That means it's all the same statement. It's all the same. It's all flowing. So like, it's hard for me to tell you where to read to. It's like if you start in Ephesians 4 and just go to the end of the book, you're going to get something. Like the Bible, the end of the Bible. No, seriously. If you read this, it so makes sense. Because look, this is neat to see. There's gods in this. I'm not just being silly. When you come down through purple is any conditions or commandments of God, and usually condition will receive a promise. See the orange? Orange are promises in my Bible. So this is contingent to receiving this promise. It's not works. It's just obedience, walking in truth. This is positioning for the promise. So the purple I have is commandments and conditions for promise. Promises are orange. So green is love. So when you look at this, look, When you keep reading, look how progressive the Word of God is. So all these conditions and commandments of what God's calling you to be, He's calling you to be this. This is who you are in Christ. This is what you give yourself to. When you see all that purple without orange, what that tells me is this is a whole list of what God says I've become through Christ, that I should receive it and walk in it. Okay? So there it is. And what it does is it brings me to what? To love. And love continues on, and then it just goes into more conditions and promises, and it's just, you just keep reading, and it's life. So I don't know where to tell you to stop, but read Ephesians 4. Seriously. And if I get a chance this weekend to expound on it, I will, and talk about the salvation of the soul. That'll be awesome. But honestly, in your own Bible time, read Ephesians 4. But you might want to learn to just keep progressive with it and see what it's really saying. And don't just get to the end and stop where the period is, because therefore, in light of all I just said, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Jesus also loved us. The same love. And gave Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So what Ephesians 4 is calling you into is a life surrendered of love. Did you get it? Wow. Has nothing to do with blessings, provision, eternal life. It has to do with created value and love and manifesting Christ. So as you read down Ephesians 4, you'll see that it leads you right into Ephesians 5. It talks about if you give yourself to the same old things of the flesh, come on, don't be deceived. And then it goes into, it's just so good. Did you get it? But Ephesians 4, I'm not being silly. I didn't get there. I'm sorry. I don't know. I went a lot of places today. We loaded a couple clips. So you guys good? I took you like 12 minutes past what I said, so I want to quit. But we'll be back tonight. Maybe we'll get in Ephesians 4. Maybe we'll talk about the salvation of the soul and just kind of, people that come tonight won't know. We might just extend the school like tonight. And it'll just be worship and enjoy Jesus. And we might still come up and just preach some of these things, because it might be helpful, because it's progressive. And it springs and skips a stone. Amen. I have a hard time preaching progressive. Did you notice that? I try and I go into all this other stuff. And then we get out this machine gun in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what happens. And I have no clue what I'm doing. I just believe it's God. Come on. Amen. So let's just pray and just thank Him, okay? Father, we just thank You for Your Word, the power of Your Word, the value of Your Word. Would You teach us to value Your Word like never before? However that looks, whatever that really means, what I'm asking, Lord, would You fashion our hearts in a way where we see the value of a Word, where not one of us is just picking up our Bible because as Christians we ought to read it. But we're actually seeing the value of Your Word and realizing that as we see into Your Word, we see who You are. And as we see who You are, we find ourselves. And we find out this great relationship of love that we have with You. So Lord, I'm asking for the love for Your Word and the value of Your Word to increase in all of our lives. And God, I'm asking You for a clear hearing ear of Your voice. And just a knowing, that knowing that Ephesians talked about, that would just come into all of us in a greater and sweeter way. And Father, if anyone in this room would take me up on it and just sit down with You and read Ephesians 4, I ask that You would take the life and the power that's there and impart it into the heart and give understanding in all things. And Father, I just thank You for the blessing of Your Word. Now, Father, thank You for these precious people, the grace that abounds. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I feel this in my heart. We won't take long with this. And we're not going to survey and go around. And just going to release faith over people. Is there a sickness? We won't pray for the sick. I just feel it in my heart. I just want you guys to pray for this, each other. We're going to do it real quick. But if you're sick in this house, if you have need of healing, just stand to your feet if you can. If you can't, raise your hand. But let's just pray for you, please. There's something about it. It won't leave me alone right now to pray for the sick. And we've taught, and I haven't even talked about healing. It doesn't matter. I've talked about redemption and salvation and the blood, name of Jesus. Come on, whenever He's in the house, healing's in the house. True? Presence of God is here to heal. He's present to heal. Amen? So real quick, I need especially the students of the school or anyone. Did you need prayer too? Did you want prayer? Oh, you just... Okay. Well, no. I want you guys to grab... Just go touch somebody. Get to somebody real quick. Do this quick. And don't get talky yet and real loud. And don't start praying yet. Just ask them, why'd you stand? How can I pray for you? Raise your hand if you stood so we don't lose you in the crowd. If somebody didn't claim you, make sure you're claimed. We want to claim you. Just ask them, what do you need? Why'd you stand up? Let's do this real orderly with me. Will you work with me? As soon as you find out, just cut the chatter and look right back up here. I want to do this way, please. Find out why they need prayer. Just give them the quick story. Don't give them the long rendition. Just tell them what you need. You know, man, I got sickness in my body. I don't even know what it is. It's causing me pain. Just pray for me. That's all you need to tell them, okay? Did you find out why you're praying? Do you all know why you're praying for the person? Is everybody covered? Is there anybody here that didn't get covered that stood up? We all covered? Good. Here's all I want you to do. It's not your prayer that heals the sick. It's what you believe about God's love towards them through Jesus Christ and what He accomplished, okay? A lot of people don't understand that. It's not your prayer that saves the sick and heals the sick. It's the finished work of Jesus. So you can't fail or do wrong, so you can't get self-conscious. So it's real simple. Sickness leave, pain go, be healed, disc be restored, rotator be healed, knee be restored. Something simple that relates to their situation. Hearing come in Jesus' name, be restored. Eyesight be made whole. Simple. Command, because you believe God loves them and paid the price through Jesus, and He's going to flow through what you believe and bring it to pass. Did you see what I'm saying? And faith's not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's a position of your heart to receive what He accomplished. So right now, we're going to do that. I want you to take 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and just pray over that person right now in Jesus' name. Okay? Just pray over them because it's God's will. Be healed. Pain, you leave. Body, you be changed in Jesus' name. Whatever the situation, speak it over them right now. In the name of Jesus, body, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be changed. Come on, guys, that's awesome. Just love somebody with the gospel. Thank you. That's right. If they had pain with their injury or their situation, just all pain come out of their body. Just speak it out right now. If there was limitation of movement, body be whole, mobility be restored. If there was degeneration and damage from arthritis, just God recreate. Thank you for a restoration of all things. Thank you for tissue and muscle restored. Amen? Just whatever relates to the situation. Okay. Thanks, God. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I am. I'm going to do it real quick. We can do this quick. If you could check your body and knew if you were healed, and it's something you could tell immediately, I want you to check that area. Just begin to test yourself. We can learn and walk through this way. Just test yourself a little. Just check your body and see if anything's changed. Checks. Not everybody can tell right away. Like, he's wearing a hard cast, so you really, there's nothing you can do. So when you pray for somebody like this, you just pray believing and believe that he's going to find that God did something beautiful, that his hand doesn't have. We've had people get things removed like this and had total use of their hand without therapy or anything, and that's impossible when you wear something. You actually, even if your hand wasn't broken, you wore that for a while, your hand would, there would be attrition and all that atrophy, I mean. But we've seen God, they take things off and they have total use. That's powerful to me. That's like fun. But who here could check your body and would know if something changed, like what we prayed for? Some people wouldn't, but some of you would. Check your body. Tell me what's going on. Have you felt any change or anything? Just be honest. Just talk to me. Okay? Do you feel the same pains there? Anybody else? Is there anybody that felt changed? Anybody that felt totally changed? You broke your back. Even while I was preaching so good, that pain was going back up. And it left when they prayed. You don't have any. Isn't that fun? You were in pain what? For a year and a half. All the time. Man, well, let's just thank God for that. Lift your hands and just thank God for that. And touch her, ladies. Just touch her and thank God for that finished work and that it will never come back. When I see something like that, I always just thank you, God, it will never come back. And I just thank you that her body is found transformed. And God, that her body reveals it, that she has fresh mobility, flexibility, and total rest. Isn't that beautiful? A year and a half she hasn't not had pain, and it just left when the girls prayed. Ha! Huh. Yay for you, Jesus. Anybody else? Just we're going to do something quick. I want you to all be encouraged. Inventory your body if you can check it. Is there anybody else that felt changed when we prayed? Don't be ashamed if you didn't. We're going to get there in a second. But check if you're changed. Anybody else feel change in their body that could check their body? Does anybody feel some change? You felt some change that could check your body. You felt some change. See, that happens. There's three things you'll see happen sometimes when you pray for the sick. And sometimes you'll see things completely change. Sometimes you'll see things somewhat change. And sometimes the reality is you can pray for a room of 100 sick folks and you might see a whole bunch of people jumping. Wow. And it just seems like there's sometimes where we won't see something change immediately. Now, our goal is to just see everybody restored in a moment. I understand that. It's a little tough teaching it because I don't want to set up for us to not expect healing. We expect healing. But here's the deal. Healing's not a point in time. Faith isn't a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's the position of your heart to believe what He accomplished. Faith is a continuing thing. You believe and receive. You never change. So here's what happens in a setting like this. It gets uncomfortable to people, and I'm doing it on purpose, not to make you uncomfortable, to teach us through this. When you do like this, you always have some people that go, wow, I'm totally healed. Well, then you have other people that felt no change. And if you're not careful, the people that prayed for them are thinking, what did we do wrong? Why was she healed when they prayed? Maybe we ought to get them to pray for her because God's moving through them. He doesn't seem to be moving through us. What am I doing wrong? Why is the pain still in my body? Why did they? And our minds just zzzz. Here's the bottom line. Jesus, You love me. And God, I thank You for the love of the body of Christ and the faith being released over me right now. And I just thank You for the restoration that You bring to all my flesh. And I'm done asking questions, introspecting, soul searching. You love me. And I thank You that You're the Redeemer of my life and You're the one that makes me whole. So you run no risk when you pray for the sick. You release the kingdom of God in truth. So I want to see who felt some change in your body, just some. That was you. Anybody else feel some? Who wouldn't know right now anyway if you were prayed for? You wouldn't know immediately. Okay, we got a hand for them. How many of you would know if you were healed immediately that was prayed for? You would know immediately. Let me see. So did you feel any change? Do you feel the same? Okay, that's just a tangible thing. But as far as the condition, still feels the same? Still feels the same. Anybody else still feel the same? The condition feels the same. Wow, we got a lot of still feel the same. Okay. You would know. It's in your shoulder. Okay, so you would know. You would know. You all would know. Let's see who would know and didn't receive change. Let's do this one more time. I'm going to teach you something here, okay? Now listen, here's what I need you guys to understand that raised your hand. Let's stop thinking we're doing something wrong. Let's trust our relationship in the Lord that if there was something that needed to align, Holy Spirit Himself would instruct me. Because I see people go on rat race searches, man. Throw away their identity. 2 years later, they are sure there's something missing in their life. And they analytically say, well, if I was right, I'd be healed by now. And they get real analytical and rational. And the whole time they're out of fellowship with God and aren't even receiving His love. They're just driven by need and asking for prayer. Don't ever let that happen to you if you're in a situation. Here's the deal. Receiving God's love is where wholeness comes through. Not comparing yourselves among yourselves. How could I be standing right beside this lady? She gets healed. Oh, man. You've got one response. Father, I so thank You. You love me. And thank You for these precious, faith-filled women that have touched me. And You said if they lay their hands on the sick shall recover. God, You're bringing great restoration to my body. And I thank You for change. God, Your love for me is undeniable. You'd have never sent Your Son. Yay for You, Jesus. That's where you live. You can get prayed for at like the most anointing healing service you've ever been at, and all these miraculous things happen, and you leave with that same pain in your hip. And if you're not careful, you'll leave there down. You'll go home, introspect, soul search, and have yourself all beat up by the time it's ready to go to bed, and you'll think there's no hope for you. What a deception. No, you go to bed and you say, Father, I am so encouraged tonight because I watched Your power heal all through the room. You are a healing God, and You love, and what You did for all, and You love me no less, and I thank You for the grace that's moving in my life, restoring me, making me whole. And you crawl in bed, thank You, Father. I'm telling you, I could stand here for a couple hours and tell you testimonies of people that pursued to live that way, woke up with nothing, woke up in the middle of the night with nothing, 3 days later realized there was nothing. It's no less the power of God. It's called continuing faith and never letting truth change based on your experience. You follow me? So we're going to do this. We're going to pray for you guys without staring and typing you. See that? I'll have fun with this. The nothing happened group. No. Watch this. We're going to pray for you one time. And we're going to all ask you to check your bodies and see if anything's changed. Just one more time. Okay? Because a lot of times we just, because we're persistent, we're going to pray the same thing. Don't shift your prayers. Don't try to pray something different. Just be healed. Pain leave. Body be restored. Shoulder you respond. Ear hear. You see what I'm saying? So let me see who was prayed for and you received no change in the moment. Let's see, so we can get to you. Get to them. Get to them. Just touch them. One-on-one, two-on-one. Gang up on them. I don't care, but get to them. Because I want to teach you what it means to release people in faith. There's a time to just believe God. So right now, in Jesus' name, thank You, Father. Healing in this house. Bodies change. come into alignment. Ear, hear, eyes, see. That's right. Bodies be made whole. Backs be healed. Pain, leave in the authority of Jesus' name. Shoulder be healed. Thanks, God, for what you're doing in this room. Thanks for healing and restoring, Father. Thanks for making whole. Thanks for touching those girls, God. Thanks for touching families. In Jesus' name, be healed. Bodies be free. Be loosed. In the name of Jesus, be whole. Thanks, Papa. Thanks, God. Go ahead. We prayed long enough. You got nothing to lose. Don't exaggerate or make nothing up. I read in Revelations, you lie, you fry. So don't lie in this room. We are not here to hear the right thing. We want you better, okay? So don't feel under pressure. I've seen people in healing services say they're okay because it got them through the moment. I don't want you to ever do that, please. We're big enough for you to say nothing's changed. So check your bodies right now and tell me if anybody felt anything change or sees anything different when we prayed. Anybody? You guys still feel the same stuff in your body? Okay? You still feel the limitation? Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm just being real. That always bothers me because I just want people to change right now. It always bothers me. So I have to get a grip on my own emotions. There's not enough grunting and snorting that's going to change a person's body. It's faith through Jesus, believing and releasing faith. Anything seems the same. Anybody else? Completely left that time. It's good. Okay, there's something we're learning here. Don't compare yourselves to that. It's teaching us that, listen, we're not going to grow weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we don't lose heart. We're staying in a place called faith and truth, right? So that's encouraging. If you have a condition that didn't change and you saw somebody do what he just did, that ought to encourage your heart, not compare yourself. And say, whoa, God, you do it. And even though it didn't completely heal the first time, they prayed again, and God, as they touched me, I'm just believing. So this is what it means to release somebody in faith, and I'm going to do that with you right now, you guys, okay? So you have one option because of what I'm teaching. Now, you can do anything you want, but I'm telling you, you have one option. You live here thankful, and thank God He loves you, and He's doing an amazing thing in your body, and He's bringing all things to restoration and wholeness. Amen? So, Father, I bless them. We bless them. Just stretch your hands and believe God's towards these people. Father, we just thank you that all sickness and infirmity leave. We just thank you that your hand be strong upon them. We thank you, God, that this man would never experience limitation in his shoulder, that his hearing, God, he'd just receive it. Man, I'm hearing more than I've ever heard before. Man, this is amazing. God, I can hear. God, that his shoulder just doesn't hinder him at all, God. I thank you. There's nothing lacking even through this surgery. Father, all these other things that were prayed for, we just thank you for wholeness in their bodies. No more pain in their backs. No more pain in their hips. The ability to bend and flex and move. God, you're making all things new in your children. Through the name and through the blood of Jesus, we say, behold.